The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We've had De'Aaron Fox. We've had Carlos from Bad Friends. And now our next in-studio guest from ESPN. She covers the NBA and the Golden State Warriors. Ladies and gentlemen, Kendra Andrews!
No! Oh my God, yes! Yes!
Yes!
Yes! Yes! Give her the ball! Yes!
Okay, good job. Oh, yes! Only the top three in-studio guest ever, Kendra Andrews, who, let me just get the credentials right.
Beaming.
Covers the NBA. She covers the Golden State Warriors and Deuce Mason's best friend. Right?
That's a fact. I switched the order of those. Oh. More important goes first, right?
Cute.
Here we are again.
Thanks. Yeah. What the hell?
One, appreciate you being here. We're going to have some fun talking about this. Morgan doesn't like the fog. It's embrace it.
I do appreciate the fog for me.
Okay.
Like, I appreciate that.
You do until, I don't know if we all remember this last year around the same time when we were using a lot of fog, I not only did I lose my voice, but I felt congested and we were like, what's going on? So there's shit in this fog mist.
It's all natural fog from San Francisco, California. It's all captured in a bottle and we use it. Okay, a couple things, Kendra. I know you may not used to be having a microphone in your hand. You got to bring it close. I don't know. This is your first time on.
Is this better?
Yeah, thank you.
Do you know how to do this?
Yeah.
No, it's my first time.
Deuce, do you want to make sure her mic is on like mine?
No, I'm going to test it before you actually start.
Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Sounds great.
6.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right. Let's start the show. Deuce and Mo coming down. 3, 2, 1. Hit my music.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast the night before the NBA play-in. It's going down in Sacramento. Golden 1 Center, the capital city. Kings and Warriors, win or go home. Who's advancing to take on the loser of the 7-8 matchup? Will it be the Kings or the Warriors? We're breaking it all down. Deuce Mason, alongside Morgan Reagan, and our special guest. Live in studio, only the third in-studio guest we've ever had. We've had De'Aaron Fox and Rasay Fox in studio. So that's two.
Yeah, that's two. I guess we're talking three podcasts.
Yes.
Okay.
Carlos from Bad Friends, and now from ESPN, she covers the NBA, she covers the Golden State Warriors, and my best friend, Kendra Andrews!
Yeah!
Thanks for having me.
Good job. Good intro.
Wow. Here we are again, Kings and Warriors. It's kind of poetic in some ways because this is what's amazing about basketball. It brings people together, right?
Sentimental already.
No, I am. I'm doing this now. We're starting this. No, because I need to set the stage on this. It's crazy to think about this. So we got to know, we met Kendra like, I don't know, almost a year and a half ago. But when we first started getting close was during the series, right? Mm-hmm. That was a year ago tonight, game one, Kings Warriors.
Crazy.
And here we are a year later, hanging out, talking Kings Warriors yet again. But it's just amazing how basketball brings people together.
It is. I'm better for it.
And not only that, though, I just think about like the fact that it's Warriors Kings.
Right.
And I probably wouldn't be looking forward to this unless Kendra was involved in some way, shape, or form. Honestly, because if it was just Warrior Kings and it was like you weren't there, I'd be like, ugh. Right.
Well, it's crazy to think about. I think the first legitimate conversation, it was the first time I met you, Deuce, but I'd met you, Morgan, at the California Classic.
Yes.
It's like 2022, 23.
One of those times.
2022. But the first time I'd really talked to you guys was at Summer League 2022. And it was right after Mike Brown got hired as the Kings head coach. And you were asking me, what kind of coach is he? What vibe does he bring? Is he good for a young, developing, growing team that's going to have to do those things, right?
And then, Kendra was like, no, this is a terrible hire. What are they? I remember, like, she was like, no, he's a great guy. You will love him.
And then 9 months later, it was Warriors Kings in the first round of the playoffs.
And we were like, you were right. He is great. This is great. Everything's so great. Now, a year later, you know, expectations change and everyone isn't in that same boat right now as the Kings and the Warriors are about to play a playing game. But I feel like there's still some special magic because it's kind of like what Deuce said. It's I think even career wise for us, like I've enjoyed so much local media personalities throughout our careers, you know, that do so much amazing work here in Sacramento. But because the Kings weren't winning, we wouldn't get to meet really anyone else unless they came to Sacramento. And so the playoff series allowed us to meet new people, become closer with others. And now we're here 1 year later. It's poetic. It's effing go time.
It's crazy that this is what we're seeing back to back years. I didn't think anyone thought we'd be seeing it in this situation with a play-in game, let alone a 9-10 matchup. So last year it ended game 7, Sacramento, when Steph Curry dropped 50 points on the Kings. And here we are in another winner-go-home game in Sacramento. I just can't believe it. There's like just so many layers to this. And I am so curious because both teams have had a roller coaster ride of a season.
Yeah.
Like Sacramento's had higher expectations. They've had injuries, but they've been up and down. The Warriors had some really tough moments this year with Draymond suspension, some injuries. But it seems like right now the Kings have lost 5 of 7. They're playing some of their, I guess, worst basketball in terms of closing. And the Warriors looks like they're turning the corner.
Yeah. I mean, the last month of the regular season, really, we'll call it mid-March through now, have been the Warriors' best stretch of the season. And they went on some winning streaks earlier on in the year, but it's the they've seemed to have found that identity and the combinations that have worked for them that they lacked so much of the regular season. They've always been a group, right, that always talks about it's going to come together. We have that faith. And for 6-7 months of the year, you're like, no, I don't believe you. And I mean, we can get into it later of how high they can go, all that stuff. But yes, right now, I was talking about it earlier today, and as the Warriors are kind of climbing up,
the
Kings are kind of
going the other way.
A little bit down.
Yeah. This is what I love too, getting a little bit more of your perspective, because I think some of the things that we were talking about before actually going on here, we're like, save it for the pod. And one of the things that I keep talking about for 24 hours from now, I keep going like, yeah, but you know, we've seen the Kings with so many lulls this year. Like as soon as a team gets going, it doesn't ever, or like gets some padding, it feels like the Kings can never turn it around. But it seems like you have also seen that since you watch the Warriors every single night.
In terms of like them,
the clutch moments or what it.
Yeah, the Warriors have struggled closing games this year. I mean, we think absolutely. About to the play-in game against Sacramento where the Warriors had a 24-point lead.
Oh.
And they threw that game away.
I can find the stat for you somewhere.
Yes.
I mean, first off, they have, I think, 48 clutch games this season. That's the most in the league for clutch games in a season. But I need to look up their record in those clutch games because there are so many of those games that they have lost. And what's even more painful for them, there's so many of those games that ended up being clutch games that they held a double-digit lead at some point in the second half and they let them go.
And that's kind of the story with the Kings recently.
Yep.
Like in New York a couple weeks ago, they're up 20 against the Knicks. they had some moments in a clutch game in Boston, couldn't close it. Then against Oklahoma, on the road against Oklahoma City, they're up big in that game. Against Phoenix, they were in control, and then they threw it away in the final minute. It's crazy. And I think the other interesting conversation about this game that we have tomorrow is just the fact that, like, we talk so much about, oh, these teams know each other. We saw them play a ton last. They're in the same division. They had a 7-game series. It seemed like they played 8 times in the preseason. They played 4 times before the end of January.
Way too many times. Yeah.
But that's the last time we've seen these two teams play, was January 25th. And these teams are really different at this point.
Yeah, different, good for the Warriors, just like Kendra was kind of talking about. Like, they've kind of figured out more of their identity and their rotations. And obviously, we've talked a lot about the Kings. So for you, what, I guess, from what you've seen with identity, like, what would that really, like, what has that kind of been?
Yeah. In terms of, like, personnel for the Warriors, the biggest difference from those early season contests, the last one, again, was in January, Trayce Jackson-Davis and Brandon Pajemski, right, Trayce is a starter right now. Brandon was a starter somewhere in their, you know, 200 starting lineups that they've used this season. Those have been like the big emergences. And even Jonathan Kuminga, he's been a starter pretty much all year round. But when you think back to the playoff series last year, he was important, but he wasn't a starter. He wasn't one of their main guys. So the emergence of those three guys have been the biggest difference. With that, it's the whatever the opposite of emergence for Kevon Looney. And he was a 2-time Iron Man for the Warriors. He was, when I look back at the playoffs last year, both Warriors series against the Kings and against the Lakers, and really throughout the regular season, he was their most dependable guy. And now he's out of the rotation.
Wild.
Altogether.
Wild.
And I think it's fair to say he was the second most important player in that Kings-Warriors series because of his ability to neutralize Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
To make life tough. Perfect. Ooh, she's got a number?
Give
me a Stat of the Night nominee.
Bring out your phone and bring out the numbers, girl.
She has so many stats. Also, shout out to the live crew hanging out with us. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We'll get to some of your questions, too, throughout.
Kevon Looney had the Domantas Sabonis assignment this season, defending him for 148 half-court matchups. 148, Looney defended Sabonis for 658 half-court matchups for their careers. That is the most by any player against Domantas Sabonis.
What? Whoa. So now it's going to be Trayce Jackson-Davis. And this guy, I wish we had this number. I know someone does somewhere, but the amount of minutes that he's actually played against the Kings.
So he started a preseason game against the Kings and had the... I don't know if Sabonis played in that game. I think he did. Okay.
Yeah. He did or didn't?
He did.
He did. But during the regular season, none.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So he played a total of 4 minutes and 41.
Oh, it was close to none.
Seconds. Okay. And now he's now playing 24 minutes a game since March 1st.
Damn.
And then, you know, there's a lot of change. Keon Ellis, too. We'll get into that. But yeah, that's, I think, one interesting angle with that is, like, you know, Trayce Jackson-Davis, I think, has been a huge upgrade for them. He's more athletic. He's a lob threat. He's long, can block shots. I think he's a good player. I think tomorrow it's going to be interesting to see, like, if he's able to handle that matchup and be okay against Sabonis, he'll stick in there. Sure. And maybe the Warriors go small after that. But does Kerr, if there's some early struggles, does he go, you know what, Looney, I know we've been playing you like 12 minutes a night recently. Yeah. You've been pretty much out of the rotation. You have anything left for this game?
I mean, you have to. If that's the case, if Trayce is struggling, there's no doubt to me that Steve would turn to a guy like Kevon.
Because, okay.
Again, they know that this isn't a 7-game series where you say, okay, Trayce, let's go back to the film room and figure this out. Let's break it down.
Make your adjustments.
Right. It's win or go home. They have to win. Kevon is a reliable guy. But again, the downside, he has been playing a little bit in these past couple games because Jonathan Kuminga has been out, but he's going to play tomorrow. I got a complete... watching Kevon, he looks out of rhythm right now. Like, he looks like a guy who's been sitting at the end of the bench.
I feel like he gave everything he had left in that Kings-Warriors series.
I hope so.
He's been so, like you said, so dependable for them at times. The guy's had to deal with a ton of injuries in his life. And, I mean, he was a menace in that series against the Kings in terms of offensive rebounding, what he did.
Game changing.
Able to absorb the contact from Sabonis because Sabonis wants to get downhill, right? Sabonis wants to, they're going to give him space. So Sabonis wants to get downhill, create some contact. Looney can take those shots, and he was long enough to block shots. I think Trayce Jackson-Davis can do the same thing.
Well, that's
to be
what I was going to ask, because obviously you and I, Deuce, we watch a lot of Warriors basketball. It's always on national television. And even if it's not, we're going to watch it on League Pass, whatever. But at the same time, I am curious, Kendra, if you've noticed anything when he's taking on some girthier bigs compared to like the skinny long dudes.
Right. Well, what I look at times when he played against Nikola Jokic or which he did earlier in the season, and he did struggle against bigger guys. And Trayce isn't,
you can say girthy. We say girthy on this pod.
Girth.
Girthy.
It sounds so gross.
Say it to the camera.
Everyone's like, ew, that's, and like, well, they are. They're like, yeah, bigger.
But like he isn't one of those centers that, for example, when Chet Holmgren came into the league, Zags, I was a little, I was not concerned. I was curious of like, okay, or even a Victor Wembanyama. You're so skinny that when you go up against the girthier type of players, how are you going to do? Trayce has a solid build to him.
Yes.
The thing with Sabonis that I'm interested in, because Sabonis, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this a lot and know even better than I do, like his footwork, the finesse that that Sabonis plays with is different than other bigs or other centers around the league. And so I'm curious to see how Trayce adapts to playing with a big who has that level of footwork, finesse, who isn't just your big center guy down low.
No, that's that. Okay. That will be interesting because you're exactly right. I mean, his footwork alone is absolutely phenomenal for a big. I think one of the biggest struggles that we have seen for Sabonis lately, and Mike Brown has talked about this as well, is that a lot of teams will throw the doubles, will collapse on him. And for some reason, he's been making really slow decisions, like just very indecisive. And we're like, what? You don't do this. But he's also missing out on Monk. He's missing out on Herter. So like missing out on guys that move without the basketball, that create with them and do all those things. So I am curious what the Warriors game plan is. If they're like, we want to keep in Jackson Davis, but we trust in him, but we just start throwing this double.
If it's interesting, because I feel like if I'm the Warriors, you're obviously, you hope Jackson Davis can do his thing if you're the Warriors. And I mean, I feel like their game plan is going to be similar with Sabonis, especially now that the Kings don't have Monk and Herter. Teams lately have been packing the paint against Sacramento because they're like, we're not going to let Fox and Sabonis beat us. We're going to make Keon Ellis beat us. We're going to make Davion Mitchell. We're not going to let these guys beat us. Sabonis last year, what'd they do? Shoot the shot.
Shoot
the mid-range shot. He would not shoot it.
Is he going to shoot
now,
it?
Now, and this was a topic today at Kings practice. Mike Brown was asked about this is yesterday against Portland. It felt like he was almost making a point to shoot the mid-range. He was 4-for-4 on mid-range shots. He actually took more mid-range shots this year than he did last year. But it's easy to take him in game 82 against the Blazers G League team, okay?
Side
note.
Yeah.
What?
When I was read that starting lineup for the Blazers.
You're like, who?
It was a game of who was who. I was like, and the one player with that one stat line missed all 5 threes in the ejection.
Banton was 0-for-15, set an NBA record. You launch 15 threes. If I launch 15 threes, I'm making one.
And he got ejected. That was it was beautiful. Anyway.
Be nice, you guys. Be nice. They're on an NBA floor. No, but you're
Delano
exactly right.
Banton.
I'm sorry. That was a tangent.
No, but I think that, so
we're allowed to be mean.
The
here.
Big topic over the offseason was Sabonis.
Yeah.
He would not shoot the mid-range. He was dealing with a hand injury too, but he would not shoot the mid-range shot. He would hesitate. He would overthink maybe. He would not make a decision.
What a drag.
And then maybe he would take it and miss it. This offseason, he was focused on it, working with Doug Christie. We saw him, especially in the preseason, he was making it a point to like take that shot against the Warriors. People may forget about this. The game where Klay Thompson hit the game winner. The play before that, Sabonis took a mid-range shot, banked in. That gave the Kings the lead. Klay ultimately hit the game winner. That's the key tomorrow. Like, they're going to let Sabonis shoot. They're going to let Davion Mitchell shoot. They may let Keon Ellis shoot. Those guys can't hesitate. And I don't know. That it's, again, like I said, it's easy to do that against the Blazers, but when Draymond Green or Jackson Davis plays off you, are you going to think about it? Are you having flashbacks of that series?
And the other thing I'm curious to see against the Kings with the Jackson Davis Draymond combo is something that the Warriors have really liked about it, is it's let Draymond go back to playing the four and be like the safety, really the free safety, and roam around. So I'm curious to see how, like, if at all, okay, if Domas is in the mid range and you've Jackson Davis like back in the paint,
yeah,
kind of close, depending on if you're daring Ellis to shoot or other guys shoot, okay, is Draymond going to come at him in the mid-range, or is he going to sag off him because he knows he has that rim protector now behind him, where if he comes out to a Sabonis and Sabonis says, ah, never mind, I'm going to go to the rim, and Draymond says, okay, I'll trust Trayce Jackson-Davis, or is it the same thing of, no, I don't want the rookie to have to deal with that, I'm going to step back,
yes,
and dare you to shoot your shot.
This, that, you guys, if this becomes the big storyline for tomorrow, I'm going to be so sad because I need a lot of, I need a competitive game tomorrow. But, yeah, but not only that, my whole point to that being is that this, a lot of this talking about packing the paint and what Domas needs to do and everything, it's so much of this Kings identity now depends on those two guys, De'Aaron and Domas. And it's crazy to think about, like, okay, what if, you know, Draymond is floating at some points and even Trey Lyles is stretching the floor, but then Trey Lyles is missing his threes, or, you know, they're not taking the best shots. And how many times Mike Brown this season says, hey, basketball gods say, if you don't take that open three, you're doing something bad. No, don't keep taking that three and wasting a possession. Well, if it's wide open every single time, you got to make sure you're still moving, still attacking.
So one thing Mike Brown said today at practice, because that topic came up about threes, right? His thing about the playoffs is you can't pass up open shots, because in the playoffs, you're not going to get as many open shots.
Okay,
you have to shoot it. Now, you don't, he even said, he goes, look, we may take 30 threes, we could take 50 threes. I want my guys taking open shots. And I think that's something that last year that was a theme. Like, Sabonis was passing up shots. Davion Mitchell eventually got played off the floor in a game seven. Why? The Warriors weren't defending him.
Yeah.
And not only were they not defending him, he wasn't making shots. And they played a game of, all right, do we have Davion out there for his defense on Steph? Or do we go with Terrence Davis because he can give us a little bit of lift like he did in game six when the Kings won there? Now, Davion Mitchell is hitting the three. Since the All-Star break, it's over 40%. He's shooting 47% from three in the corners. He looks more comfortable offensively. Then you add in someone like Keon Ellis. Keon's impact defensively, we'll talk about. He's hitting the three over 40% clip. So, like, if the Warriors are willing to give that up, it may work out for the Kings. Now, it's also different. There is that component of, this is a big game. Keon Ellis can hit it in a game in the regular season. A little energy in the building. Yeah. You know, how is he going to handle those moments?
I mean, I don't know if you're asking me.
Like, no, I'm just talking.
I remember last season in that playoff tournament, and really throughout, you always hear about experience in the playoffs in these situations. And we, at Warriors practice today, Steph spoke and he was talking about how it's kind of ironic, right? Like, almost as you were saying, it's ironic that we find ourselves in this situation now. It is, the Warriors and Kings played each other in a 7-game series, game seven, winner go home situation. Now you're in a play-in winner go home. And they view it as a game seven. Do you think that the Kings experience, or like, where do you think the Kings experience in that series, in that game seven, kind of, do you think that they have that similar approach, or where does that help them in this game?
Deuce, my first reaction to that is just different team. And I say that because I think about how not only Malik Monk is out, but I even think about De'Aaron Fox and even Domas and the way that they have played differently. Starting with Domas, hasn't been playing his best basketball as of late. You know, talking about him being indecisive, all the different things. He has shot more mid-range. So, you know, it obviously triggered something throughout the year that game seven did. But even De'Aaron Fox, like, we've seen him have these clutch moments. And then even in some of these clutch moments, everyone for example, the Suns game the other night. Everyone knew that he was the clutch player to go to, so three guys went on him. And although he is adamant that Bradley Beal fouled him, two-minute report came out, says he was not fouled, it was marginal contact, whatever, but he's adamant about it. He had Keon Ellis wide open to possibly take that last shot. And my point to this being with some of these guys in this Game 7, they had experience one Game 7,
right,
and now they don't have Malik Monk, who experienced some of it. They don't have some of the other pieces that were that Kevin Huerter, even though he wasn't having his best post-game series. It's just different, and it doesn't mean that it's necessarily bad different, but I just don't think all the experience is there.
My pushback on that is I do think it matters. I think, one, the pain they felt after losing that Game 7 on your home floor. Think about how they felt in a do or die situation last year, going to Chase Center and winning a Game 6. We heard so much about Game 6 Clay. That was like, oh man, he's going to kill the Kings. And the Kings just like dominated that game.
So fun.
And then they came back to Sacramento. We know what happened. But I think that experience does matter. I think
even
also
one time like that, you're saying?
But it's not just one time. Okay. Because this is the point I made to you yesterday.
Okay.
The Kings have been playing big games the last 2 weeks, and not just them playing big games. Of course, they've been fighting for playoff seeding.
Fair.
When they played the Knicks were trying to get to the number two seed. Without beating Sacramento, they're not number two in the East. OKC was trying to get the number one seed in the West. They had to battle Sacramento at home, a place they don't lose very often. Without that win, they're not number one in the West. They were playing for something, right?
Yeah.
You think about the Pelicans here. They were playing for seeding. The Suns. If the Suns don't beat the Kings in that final minute when the Kings are up four with the ball, they're not in the top six. They're in the play-in.
Yeah.
So they have been playing these big games. Now, to me, the key is, can they start closing this shit?
Right. That, okay. That, I mean, there we go.
Follow-up question. Yeah. Yes.
You know, because
follow-up.
They've been in these games.
Can they
when
execute?
I talk about, like, I was looking at some of the numbers. The Kings since March 1st. I use that as a date because that was the first game Keon Ellis got a start. Oh. He was back in the rotation. He didn't play the next game, but after that, completely in the rotation.
Okay.
Since March 1st, the Kings are third in the NBA in defensive rating.
What?
Yes, third in the NBA. They're 13th in offensive rating and fifth in net rating. Their record during that stretch, 13-11.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't really match up to third in defense, and right. You know what I mean? Since Malik Monk's injury, I will admit these numbers are juiced a little bit after what happened yesterday against Portland. Because it
fair.
Yeah. It was a 10-game sample size, too.
Okay.
4-6 record, but they're ninth in offense and fifth in defense during that time. Top 10 in offense and defense, that should be a winning formula. The fact is, they've gotten off to amazing starts. They either have blown leads or they can't close out when they've had a lead in the final minute. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the next step. So that's where, like, with this game, I'm like, to me, this is such a toss-up. Like, the Kings could definitely beat the Warriors tomorrow, but they have to find a way to close. They played good basketball through stretches.
I will also say, because we were talking about it before, it does sound eerily similar to some of the issues that the Warriors had faced, and I'll just point out that the Warriors haven't figured out all those issues because one of the final games of the season was against the Pelicans, who, again, kind of, as you were saying, the Pels were playing for something when they played the Kings. They were also fighting for seeding position when they played the Warriors because it was the last week of the regular season.
Yep.
It was fourth to last game, I want to say, for the teams. And it was another example of the Warriors being right there, being up, and not being able to close.
Ooh, well, okay, so in a game like that, what was their issue with not being able to close? Because with the Kings, I do always go back to, like, experience, or, like, when it comes to late-game execution, I go, they're big guys, not they're two guys not stepping up.
I think right now, and this is, you go back to experience. It's not about Fox and Sabonis' experience.
No,
right. It's about other people. Keon Ellis. Yeah.
But
Keon
think about even that last moment, though. Late game execution, and we even talk about that final
play,
dude.
You're right.
Like, that to me
the
was
Sabonis
an experience.
Turnover.
It was just, yes.
Right.
It was literally two guys that I'm talking about that. And I don't know if that's experience with it mentally being in a big moment or whatever it is, but they didn't execute. Their two main guys did not execute late in games. And if those two guys are not playing perfect basketball late, that's where I have a problem. And that's why I'm asking what happened in the late game
For the Pelicans game, it was turnovers. Ton of turnovers, and then the Pelicans hit 22 three-pointers just like throughout the game. So that
sounds like their game in Sacramento.
but it's interesting that you like. I think this game between the Warriors and the Kings is exactly going to come down to what you were talking about, Morgan, which is execution. It's something that Draymond mentioned last night, where he said even with Malik Monk out, Kevin Huerter out, with Keon Ellis in, with other guys in, with Trayce Jackson-Davis and blah 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 blah. Sabonis, Fox, Draymond, Steph, Clay, heads of the snake. Both of these teams are so, so familiar. The two head coaches know each other's playbook because it is each other's playbook pretty much. So it's going to come down to the little execution of those games. To me, that's going to be the deciding factor in these games. You can go into what if Steph has a big game? Well, what if X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
It's going to be like those little margins because they know each other. The
turnovers,
so well.
The turnovers, Deuce, the little plays when you saw in the beginning of the year, remember when Dame Lillard had that dagger against the Sacramento Kings and you think about how De'Aaron Fox just stayed on him? Is there going to be a moment where we go, De'Aaron Fox or whoever else is guarding Steph should have stayed on Steph? Mm. Is there going to be a moment where you go, oh, could have someone come out or did someone go under screen and that's why that one more three-pointer in that game was made? Those are the moments that I am so nervous for.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the other just big element, and it feels like it's more narrative-based than anything, is just like what's on the line for the Warriors a bit here, right? Like there's some pride for this group. This group with Draymond, Clay, and Steph, like missing the playoffs doesn't like happen often.
I know,
right? We go back to that play-in game that they were the eighth seed and they lost both two play-in games. Yeah. But that was like Clay coming back, if I'm not mistaken, right? So
2021,
you know, this group, especially with like some of the things like Clay Thompson's status going into the offseason, Chris Paul's future with the team. There's got to be some extra like motivation, like we got to do this shit now. And I feel like the desperation factor has to come into play a little bit too.
I think they do. There is an understanding, of what's at stake. I think the biggest question is like, if we're looking ahead to the offseason is Clay, right? Because Steph's locked in, Draymond's locked in, Steve Kerr is locked in. So the big question is Clay. And from what I've observed with this team is, because you're right. So the last time they were in the play-in tournament, they went 0-2 at LA first, at the Lakers first, and then hosting the Grizzlies. It was 2021. It was the inaugural season of the play-in tournament. And it was an adjustment period because it was coming off of the COVID year where they were the worst team in the league because of injuries and all this other stuff. They were trying to rebuild themselves. But the next season after that, guess what happened? They won an NBA championship. Yep. And so you're heading into this plan and this postseason with such wildly different expectations because that 2022 title was almost their FU to everyone who said we were done and over. We still got it. But ever since that championship, they've been chasing that same proof of, no, that wasn't it. Steve Kerr, I kept going back to this comment that Steve Kerr made at the beginning of the season, and it was training camp, I think. And he said, everyone looks at last season and how dysfunctional it was. That was the exception. Like 2022, those years, that's the rule. That is who we are. But they've been chasing that ever since. So I kind of asked Steve, is that still the case? And look, this team isn't going to win a championship this year. I think we can sit here. Okay. I don't know if that's
hot take.
Is that a hot take?
Whoa. No.
Breaking news.
No, I mean, it's... Okay.
It they're not favored to win a championship this year. And so, but you do kind of then ask, okay, for a team that is only used to championships, what is success? And you have to like adjust those measures. And it was something I was curious about with the Kings heading into this season too, after the season they had last year. Like, what is success? Because you have to change the barometer. And for the Warriors, if they don't make it into the playoffs, that is a failure.
Yeah.
But how far into, and I'm not, how far into the playoffs do you have to get for it to not be a failure for the Warriors? And then for the Kings, after the magic they had last year, what is an unsuccessful season?
Yeah, I think to me, you know, Mike Brown said before the season, I remember at the time we talked about it, he was talking like, oh, we have championship expectations. I was like, this is not a championship. Like, it's not a championship team.
But
like,
I also what think sometimes you
it's
say.
It's a mentality. Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah. Sure. To me, if they don't make the playoffs, it's
failure.
A failure. Yeah. Like, no doubt about it. I mean, and now you're faced with a situation. Being in the 9-10 matchup is the worst possible situation. To win two, to just get in. I mean, you think about this. You win Tuesday. You play Friday on the road. Then you play Sunday in OKC game one. Like, sure. It's not an easy thing to do at all. So it's daunting for sure. And for the Kings, yeah, like, I'm big on, like, success not linear, okay?
I was going to say that. Thank you.
If they didn't advance past the first round this year, I was like, you know, this is part of the growth. I think back to the 98-99 Kings, they made the playoffs out of nowhere with Chris Webber, took Karl Malone, John Stockton to game five in a five-game series at the time. Thank you. Five-game series at the time in the first round. What?
Yeah, yeah, we're listening.
The Kings went to game five. And after that, everyone's like, oh, man, we lost. But next year, they got their asses kicked in the first round.
Yeah.
Next year, they got out of the first round, got to the second round, got their ass kicked. They had to make tweaks. Guys had to get better, but they had to be honest about where they were as an organization and with the pieces they had. Eventually, they became a championship contender. For this Kings group, it's not about like, oh, they have to get to the second round. This year, I'm like, you just got to get in the playoffs.
Right, right. And one thing I'll say to that too, Kendra, is that like rooting for and covering a team forever now that it feels like, in watching so many losing seasons, 16 seasons not making the playoffs, 16 seasons of, I mean, seasons winning total under 40, right?
Like under 40, under 30,
right?
Under,
that's what I, my point to that being, when I see a 46 win season in this season alone, if you're in the Eastern Conference, you're making the playoffs. I also try to have that perspective of also being like, hey, we're actually watching good basketball develop. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I'm one, satisfied, or two, think that this is still a successful season if they win over 45 games or anything. I don't put a number on it. But I think it's important to take a step back and be like, hey, it doesn't mean that this team is pure shit if they don't make the playoffs. But at the same time, it means that this season alone is a failure.
Also, like the other thing too about this, is it's not necessarily about what happens in the play-in game tomorrow. If they lose tomorrow, it's not because they lost the game. It's because they lost games at home to the Pistons.
To put themselves in this situation. Yes.
Losing to the Wizards, the Hornets, like some of the worst, the Blazers, shorthanded.
Yeah.
Like some of the worst teams in the NBA.
Thank you.
You win those games, you're not in this situation. You're a top five seed. If you hang on against Phoenix the other night where you're up four with the ball with a minute to go, you're in a different situation. So also, before we continue, shout out to the people hanging out with us live. Kendra, can you say hi to the live crowd so they know
we're
live?
Hello, live crowd.
We'd actually, they don't believe you. They think this is a bit. So say hi to Jake.
Hi, Jake.
Okay. Jake's kind of lame. No, he's kind of negative
Jake
at times.
Oh, Jake's native.
Say hi, Andreas.
Hi, Andreas.
There we go. Now they know. Kendra Andrews, ESPN's Kendra Andrews, who also covers the Golden State Warriors and the NBA, hanging out with us. I didn't have a lower third for her, and I just
that was a dick.
But I also, I mean,
a little offended, but
I mean,
it's
she's on Sports Center all the
and
time.
And we did give her fog and lights to come
in. We gave her fog.
If Morgan wakes up without a voice tomorrow, I take responsibility for it.
Thank
it was
you.
My fog.
Anything for Kendra Andrews. Yes.
Is this Warriors team? Do you think it's better than last year's version?
I do. And for a couple different reasons. I think, one, the vibe and energy is worlds better than it was a year ago.
No one got punched in the face.
We can point to a lot of different things of what it is. And that's not to say that the Warriors haven't gone through some really difficult situations this year, because they have, you know, whether it's Draymond Green's suspension, the coach of the death of Decky. It's his birthday today, actually. So we love you, Decky. But, you know, they went through a ton. But I think, unlike last year, when a lot of their issues, starting with Draymond punching Jordan Poole, where it fractured a lot of people, it brought them together in a way. And it's funny because I think we were in Utah with the Warriors, and it was shortly after Draymond came back from his indefinite suspension, and him and Draymond fashion, we were asking about Jonathan Kuminga's emergence, and he and his I like to think that my suspension helped Jonathan
Kuminga. Of course.
And what he was saying, I know, I think all of us kind of had a little chuckle. And okay, it did help Jonathan get into the starting lineup and emerge and all this stuff. But and a lot of questions I get when I do radio or different podcasts or shows are the Warriors fed up with Draymond? Is that the last straw? Is that the last straw? When he got ejected in Orlando, the last straw?
Steph was tearing up. Like, he was exactly. So frustrated. I fell for him.
Yeah. Mm. And with all of that being said, in their own interesting, weird Warriors dystopian way, I do think it brought them together in a way that all of the drama last year, it fragmented them.
Interesting. So like an unhealthy, toxic relationship that you shouldn't be in. No, totally. So cute. Adorable. No, but hey, if you win a championship, it's like, okay, huh? I'm kidding.
But I even think from like an X's and O's standpoint, the construction of the roster also just makes more sense. And even with, again, we talked about Trace a lot with Brandon Pajemski, you know, Chris Paul has had, I think, a quieter season than maybe people were expecting. It's not like it's every night. Oh my God. Did you see what Chris did? Like,
sure.
But what he has brought to the team has been an upgrade than some of the things they were asking Jordan Poole to do for them, bringing the ball up the court, closing some of those games, being the floor general for the second unit. It's bridging the gap of young and old in a way that their roster last year couldn't do.
Yes.
And so even though they're in the 10 seed, they were in the 6 last year, even though all of these different things happened, I think this roster sets them up better for the future than last year's did.
I agree with that. One, just watching and hearing everyone talk. And it's so interesting too, because I think it was Pajemski and Jackson Davis on with your sister the other day, and she was asking them some fun questions, but then there was something about like, CP3, and just the way that even Pajemski talks about someone like him and what his veteran leadership has done. But then also having a veteran leader, if you want to call him leader, whatever the hell, presence, and you have them actually playing on the basketball floor too. It's very important because the Kings have JaVale McGee, and I'm no knock on him. They love how vocal he is, all the things, what he brings for the bench crew, but he's not playing.
Yeah. And from what I've gotten to know about Chris in the last 9 months, you know, since he was introduced to us as Warriors reporters at Summer League in July, and from watching him, it's like it's that he's a veteran. It's that he has respect of his peers. It's that he's playing. And it's also the view of his game. And it was interesting to hear Draymond the other night talk about how he's even learned from Chris Paul, and just kind of like the tutelage that he provides these guys and breaking down film and giving them pointers and coaching them up in games. Steve Kerr always talked about how Andre Iguodala was so valuable to that team because he was a player coach. And I mean, Chris Paul is playing more than Andre did in his last season with the Warriors, but in my eyes, he brings a similar kind of player coach atmosphere. That's a very different approach than Draymond's player coach kind of thing.
Sure.
different approaches to the job, but no, I think that addition, and look, if he comes back or not is a whole other question. If you're breaking down their offseason,
you'll be on it.
But for this year, if the question is, are they a better team than they were a year ago? I do think they are.
I agree. And it's worth noting they won 46 games just like the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
46 wins last year would have gotten you the fourth seed last year.
Jesus.
The West is absurd. That the 10th seed in the West is 46
wins? At one point in the season, and like maybe a week or two left, the Celtics were up 15 games on the Bucks for second. And the Nuggets were 15 games up on the Rockets in 10th.
Oh my God.
That, like, that is insane. Insane.
A couple of notes regarding the Kings and the Warriors. On the season, Sacramento finished 13th in offense after a year ago finishing number one. They finished 14th in defense this year, up from 24. Okay. So that was significant. Okay. After the All-Star break, yeah. Sacramento went 15-13, 8th in offense, 9th in defense, 11th in net rating. I'm sorry. 9th in defense since the All-Star break is like shocking. Like that Mike Brown got this group to do that.
Well, that's why it's so funny too, because the other night when there was a TNT game, was that the Pelicans? Yes, it was. And I was listening to the call with Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller, and Reggie Miller was talking about, yeah, the Kings just don't play defense. They only play offense. I'm like, no, Reggie, well, that was last year. Like, come on. And it's so true because what's so interesting about that is that sometimes when you see the Sacramento Kings this year, you know, you go, well, how did they get better? It's not like they added a whole bunch of individual defenders that are so much better, but truly, and I would love to get into this now, Deuce, if that's okay.
Okay. All right, we'll get to Keon.
But Keon's been a big impact that he's made defensively. Yeah. Get to your stupid stats.
I just want to get this is just comparing Kings and Warriors real fast. So the Kings since a break, 15-13. Since the All-Star break. The Warriors on the season, 9th in offense, 15th in defense. So the Kings actually finished ahead of the Warriors defensively by a spot. After the All-Star break, the Warriors 10th in offense, 7th in defense, 10th in net rating, 19-10. And that's like something that's always, they're just looking at how the Warriors have been playing. 19-10 since a break, that's an awesome record.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they still couldn't pass Sacramento and get in. You know what I mean? That's just how crazy the West was. Anyway, Morgan, to get to your point, Keon Ellis. And
that guy.
I think he's the X factor in this game tomorrow. I really do, for a couple of reasons. One, what he has done defensively for this team can't be overstated.
Right.
He has turned them into a much better defensive team. He's taken pressure off Fox. He's added another defensive piece out there with De'Aaron, who led the league in steals this
year. Hell yeah, he did.
Near the top, I think he's second in the NBA in deflections. Uh-huh. De'Aaron has a chance to be on the all-defensive team.
I mean, he should be.
So you have those two, and Keegan's jump. Last year during the Warriors series, Keegan was definitely picked on.
Yeah.
He was not a defensive player. Well, this year he's had games where he's defending Steph Curry, and he's done okay. I mean, as well as you can against Steph. Steph's still going to do his thing, whatever. But Keon is, to me, the X factor in this is – he's liable to pick up two fouls in the first 90 seconds. That could shift the game a little bit. But what he's been able to do defensively, and then also his offensive game, hitting the threes.
Yeah.
He had that game in OKC where he hit 8 threes. I feel like he's the X factor.
Well, and that's kind of what I want to get into matchups and everything too now. Because thinking about Keon Ellis. So Deuce and I... Because this is all Deuce and I talk about.
I'm sure.
And I were talking about like who was going to defend who out there. And we were thinking, okay, if you had, it was Keegan, or no, it was De'Aaron on Draymond. We were talking, is just what we were just talking about.
Right.
De'Aaron on Draymond.
Yeah.
Hear us out.
I'm with it.
And then you had who on Steph?
I think this is the one I struggle with.
Dave.
Could you put Keon on? And Davion's going to get a ton of time on him, too. And that's the thing with Sacramento right now is, like, you can throw Davion, Keon, Fox, Murray. And I think you're going to see a little bit of everyone. But to start the game.
Yeah, starting unit.
The starting unit. Fox, Ellis, Murray, Barnes, and Sabonis.
Okay. So let's just say this. De'Aaron on Draymond and Keon on Steph. And the reason why, because we're thinking about the two, and when they are going that pick and roll action, we're like,
switch.
It's just a much better switch. Yeah. Like, you're not.
But Draymond could expose that matchup with his physicality on Keon a little bit. That's one area. But that's why if you put Keegan on Steph, if that switch happens, that could make some
there
sense.
You go.
But, you know, is Keon big enough to defend Clay? Clay's playing better right now. I feel like he's in like a really good groove.
He is. Yeah. I mean, I think I'd have to look up his stats for the past couple of games, but he has been playing really well. And it's been at a time that Steph has been a little fatigued and needed a little rest. And so Clay has stepped up in that.
Yeah. It's interesting looking at Steph's numbers since the break, because before he's averaging 28 a game. Now he's down to 23, but the Warriors are playing better basketball.
Yeah.
In some ways, is it good that, like, I know he's battling fatigue, but like, they've still found ways to win.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yes. Because then you think of, okay, and then when Steph scores 40 plus all the other stuff, that's a winning formula if I've ever seen one. I look at the arch of Clay season, and when I was speaking with Steve about
the differences in the rosters and what these teams look like. It was interesting to hear him say, in addition with the laundry list of players who were injured for the Kings and have emerged for the Warriors, he mentioned how at the start of the season, when the Warriors and Kings played three of their four matchups in the first 2 weeks of the season, Klay and Andrew Wiggins were not playing well. They really struggled for the first half of the year. And is Andrew playing, is he as loud in his performances as he was in 2022? No. Is he much better than he was to start the season? Absolutely. And Klay, since the move to the bench and then coming back into the starting lineup, is much more like the version of him that this team wants and needs. At this point in Klay's career, it's not necessarily, look, they'd love to get 60 in a game from him. They'd love to get 37 points in a quarter from him. That's okay. Not
the she did that on purpose.
No, I didn't. But like, the point that I'm illustrating is like they don't necessarily are like, hey, take over this game. They haven't had a reliable second scorer for Steph for the entire year, pretty much. Yeah. It was Kuminga at some points, but these past couple weeks, Klay has really kind of stepped into that space and be that version of Klay that now post injury, a little bit older, this is like the version of the player that he should look like to be successful.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I was talking to someone else about this game earlier because, as you know, that's all I've been thinking about for the last 24 hours.
We know more than 24 hours. Yeah, it's okay.
You know, it's you know, last year everything was so much about for the Kings offense. They felt like, you know, talking to people around them last year during that series was like, we just need to push the pace. This team can't run with us.
Yeah,
obviously. It's a different style right now, right? They're winning differently. They're playing differently without Herter, without Monk.
Very different.
And it's weird that going into this game, I have more concerns about the Kings offense than I do about the defense.
Same.
And because we just talked about, oh, who do you put on Curry? Dude, I feel like the Kings have multiple options. And Davion is not going to get played off the floor this year if he's hitting his shot. Like, I know it's one game, but he's been we talked about how confident he's been. Keon's been hitting the shot.
Yeah.
De'Aaron's playing great defense. Keegan can. So I feel like this is going to end up being one of those low-scoring games in the low 100s, and it's going to come to late-game execution. I have more concerns about the Kings' offense. Like, it's a bonus going to be able to show up in this game?
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest question I have for the entire game.
Here's my thing for the Warriors defense then, because whenever we talked about the matchup against the Lakers, we get excited because we're like, they can't guard guards. Like, this is fun. Go downhill even if AD's in the middle. Like, do what you got to do. But with the Warriors, like, do you have confidence that they have the ability to still slow down the speed of someone like De'Aaron Fox going downhill? No GP2 either.
No GP2. Gary Payton II is out, which is definitely hurts them.
It's huge.
And, you know, Jonathan Kuminga, he's going to play, but he has been nursing an injury and he missed several games. And
so is he pouting because he's not starting now, too?
Don't be rude.
When Kuminga's locked in, dude, he's one of my favorite players.
He's a beast,
But I think he gets impacted when he's not starting. Still young. I think he gets in his feelings a little bit.
It's going to be interesting to see how they guard De'Aaron, though, when they get to
Wiggins. I think they maybe
and Wiggins spent... I have numbers on that too, dude.
Oh, give me some numbers.
Give us the numbers.
Oh, I love it. While you look up numbers, I want to give some love to the people hanging out with us. We are hanging out with Kendra Andrews. My best friend. From ESPN. Let's see here. Mike in the chat says, I'd go single coverage. Don't talk in the mic when I'm talking.
Sorry.
What are you doing? Mike in the chat says, I'd go single coverage on Steph. Let him do his thing, but give everything you have in stopping everyone else. You know, Mike, I think the Kings will mix up. You have to mix up coverages. They will throw some blitzes. The Kings have to be careful with blitzes because they got killed in the Knicks game with blitzes.
Do not throw blitzes.
You have to every once in a while. You have to do high or doubles.
No.
You've done it before. You have to.
The only Deuce, I am so sorry. This is not just from listening to Mind the Game with LeBron James and JJ Redick. You do not blitz some of the smartest players in the world. And one of the smartest players in the world is Steph effing Curry. Steph effing Curry just takes you, it makes it a 3-on-4 situation.
I get it because this is the problem with it, is if he is able to find Draymond. Draymond can have that
quick
little
decision.
Push shot.
Yep. Yeah.
He can also lob it up to Trayce Jackson-Davis or Wiggins, and that's a problem. The other thing with Draymond, too, that is worth talking about, I know you have numbers, too, we got to get to.
It's like one little number.
But
well, hold it.
Draymond, like, people may not realize this if they're not paying attention. You play off of him. He's hitting the three this year.
Right.
And
he's not a liability.
What was he on the season? No. He was close. I mean, it was a really good percentage, I think.
Okay, you look it up. I want to hear this number.
Well, it's not that big. It's just more on like when you're talking about the De'Aaron Fox, who's responsible for him. Wiggins defended him for 87 half court matchups, and then Kuminga guarded him for 56.
Okay.
Steph Curry with 20.
Okay. Wow.
Draymond, by the way, shot 39% from three. Back to you.
No, that's good.
That's an amazing
that's
number.
Really good. And what I'm curious with Fox, okay, yeah, I think you start Wiggins on him. You have Jonathan Kuminga spend time on him. Amen Thompson is not De'Aaron Fox, and I'll just put that out there before I say it. When we were in Houston, and I actually had a conversation with Trayce Jackson-Davis about this afterward, so I think the Draymond Trayce combo will also be important in defending De'Aaron, because Trayce was telling me of like they view him and Draymond now as interchangeable depending on matchup. So there were times in that Houston game that him and I were having a conversation about where Trayce would be guarding the guard, and then Draymond would be defending the guard, and then when the guard gets to the center or to the paint, you have Trayce there as a shot blocker.
Sure.
Then other times Trayce would be guarding the guard, and then when he starts getting downhill, you switch and you have Draymond then come onto it. So when you think about De'Aaron Fox then coming downhill, I think you're going to see something similar too, as you have a big guy who's going to try and be in the paint to block his shot, because Fox likes to finish at the rim and he's a really good finisher at the rim. But when he is coming downhill, you want those guys with that quickness and athleticism that the Warriors do now have a couple options for. I think it's another thing they're going to throw multiple looks at him, because again, also a game that they talk about with Fox is that first matchup of the season, he hit a ton of three pointers.
Yeah.
And that's not usual, it's not his calling card always, right?
Finished about just under 37% from three, which is honestly one of the best marks of his career.
Sure.
But
so they want to see that version of him pretty much. Yeah. I think the Warriors would almost rather have Fox continuously coming downhill than him getting super hot from three, just because it's something that they're a little bit more used to. They feel like they have a bunch of bodies for. But if De'Aaron catches fire from the perimeter, you can get a hand in his face and stuff. But when a team or a player starts to just bomb from distance, there's less tactical things that you can do.
And then you're coming out harder on him from the perimeter, and then you can get downhill.
If he does get downhill, sometimes it's not just finishing at the rim. If it is Jackson Davis, someone who can protect the rim better, it's more about trying to find his rhythm in that mid range. I mean, how many times we're going to look at the middle of that paint right there. We're going to look at the elbow. We're going to look at the nail, and we're going to go, okay, Can Sabonis, Cam Fox finish from right there? And then also, if people are moving without the basketball, is that going to be a lot of the open space in this situation? Especially if, let's even say, if the Warriors are having a situation where they have to make adjustments and they have to switch up their defense. And
I think to your point just about the attention that Fox is going to draw if he's trying to get downhill and if he draws multiple bodies, this is where you go back to the end of the Phoenix game where he thought he got fouled by Beal. Well, guess what? Booker came up and Allen came up. Keon Ellis was wide open. Yeah. He could have found him. He's got to make the quick decisions and understand, oh, I'm feeling these guys coming up on me, trying to build this wall to prevent me from getting downhill. I got to find the open guy.
Trust the others.
Yeah. The other thing I'm curious about, we talk so much about the Sabonis Looney thing from last year, and now Looney's not really playing much. It's Trayce Jackson-Davis. What is more likely, you guys think, if do you think the Warriors, okay, Jackson-Davis obviously going to have to rest.
Yeah.
Are they more likely to go small against the Kings and try to get Sabonis, you know, working defensively, or are they more likely to go with Looney for a few minutes?
And let's just say this, small. With, like, the Suns have gone small against the Kings.
It's worked.
And it's been effective.
It's worked at times,
I mean, going small has always been on that on the Warriors' calling card. And really, I think when you look back, because Looney has really only gotten playing time these past handful of games because Jonathan Kuminga had been out with an injury, Gary Payton also. So that's why Looney has gotten those opportunities.
Sure.
Before, they were going with a smaller lineup with Trayce as that only true center. Even Dario Saric has fallen out of the rotation, and he's a guy who spent some time out, you know, playing center.
He had some good games against the Kings this year.
He did.
So, you know, never say never that they'll go big, but I do believe that if Trayce is playing well enough and that they don't feel maybe that they need Kevon Looney to be that savior, I could see them just still sticking with that smaller lineup. But then, like, I do know that the Kings do have, like, a lot of size in that second unit, right? And they have Len and they have those guys. They have, I don't know how much.
Trey Lyles. I doubt they're going to play Sasha.
But I also think, because you were talking about, I know this was last year, but like the speed in which the Kings really like to play with and all that stuff. And that usually tends to favor the smaller Warriors lineups is that kind of speed.
The one thing that I remember about last series, game six, Sabonis was in foul trouble. And that was kind of an interesting subplot to that game too.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sabonis was not good in that game. He was in foul trouble and they were better with Trey Lyles on the floor as small ball five in that game. And Terrence Davis. I am curious to see what the Kings do when the Warriors go small. You know, do they just go, you know what, we'll put Trey at the five. He's going to be the backup five as opposed to Alex Len minutes in there. Because they played some Alex Len. Mike said today that he would like to go eight deep. And
this is
he'd go nine, but it's
an game
eight.
Of in-game adjustments. Like, and I feel like it's... I know we keep talking about the Warriors and like how they might need to adjust. I feel like it's going to fall a lot on the Kings. I mean, there's been so many times with this new look Kings at the end of the season without Malik Monk that it's been pretty wild. Deuce, just do it. What?
That's some breaking news at this hour. According to Kendra Andrews' coworker, Adrian Wojnarowski, Jordy Fernandez, Kings associate head coach, has emerged as the Nets' choice to become the franchise's next head coach, separating himself in a wide month-long search that now has the Nets prepared to hire the Kings' top assistant.
Bye, Jordy.
This is the least shocking news, I think, in NBA history. I mean, every time I see Jordy at a game, he knows everyone in the league. Yeah. It's a great story, too. And, to be honest, it's a credit to what the Kings have been able to do and the impact he's had. Good for him to go into this situation, but that is a big loss for the Kings.
That's a huge loss.
Who does he steal?
Who does he steal? One, but also
Jay Toronto.
Okay. Let's calm down and let's focus on what's ahead. But first, really quick, talking about this, Jordy as a human, amazing, love what he's brought, just his energy alone, his spirit, his family is adorable. And then defensively, you think about even after last year, we were like, okay, even after the Kings having a bad defense, he still, and like, this is someone who obviously is their defensive coordinator, runs a lot of, I mean, just has so much to do with that. And it wasn't good, still had a lot of different opportunities and interviews and everything. And then this year it was like, sure, not going to be shocking, but at the same time, it's like, okay, well, you're seeing a lot of improvement with this Kings defense. Can they carry that forward with whoever else fills in that
Sean board? Marks is going, wait, you made the Sacramento Kings an average defensive team?
I want it.
This is the first time they've ever finished above average in 20 years?
Jordy Fournier.
Hire this guy now.
The highest paid coach in NBA history. Damn. Well, good for Jordy.
Man, yeah, that's a tough loss.
And this is where the Kings are at too. It's like there could be so much. If tomorrow night, Tuesday night, if the Kings lose, there's a lot of different things that are going to even happen in this next year. And
even
and
if
change.
They win, or even if they get to the playoffs, there's things are going to change. They have to get better.
But there's a downer usually on the change and like how people feel where. I mean, that same thing would happen with the Warriors if they get knocked out on Tuesday. I mean, you know, and again, it's not about people getting fired. It's just about changes being made, whether it's people recognizing the roster, whatever it is.
I think Jordy's going to be a great head coach. I remember when Mike Brown hired him, we played that YouTube video of him just talking about his philosophy.
Yeah.
And his story is interesting, too. Mike Brown brought him over when Mike Brown was in Cleveland to train his son. And then eventually he was just around the Cleveland Cavs coaching staff, worked his way up into the league, took a G League job in Cleveland, eventually was with Michael Malone in Denver for those years, then came over to Sacramento. He's got such a good approach to the game. He understands the game. I think he's got great relationships with players. And I think most importantly, he's a leader. Because it's one thing to be an assistant and have a relationship with players. Like, people like assistant coaches, but can you be the head guy?
For sure.
He's a good leader. I think he's going to do a good job.
Deuce, I also think that either we should allow Kendra doesn't have to work tonight. So
is she trying to leave?
No.
But I was having so much fun with her.
I was feeling bad, and no, I was going to give you the choice.
I'm fine.
Choice.
Okay, all right. Here. Hold on. A couple more on this series. I realize we have talked a lot about this, but I got to be honest. I've had a lot of fun on this.
Same here.
And right. It's definitely because of Kendra, but and not Morgan at all.
Yeah, what a dick.
I would not be saying this if it was just me. Yeah.
That's why you're my best friend.
Duh. Let's
Deuce
make sure
and Kendra podcast
doesn't roll off the
Deuce
tongue.
And Ken, yeah.
Deuce and Ken.
Deuce and Ken. They tell you what they know.
Do you guys make predictions on series or a game like this?
I hate making predictions.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. Let's not do it.
She's like, if you're not paying me, I'm not making a prediction.
I think it's going to be a toss-up. I do think it's going to be a toss-up. So I think it's going to be a good game. That's what I will say.
I think so, too.
I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be a tight game. And who's executing down the stretch? It's going to be scary. It's going to be nerve-wracking. This is Kings-Warriors. Three of the four matchups this year decided by 1 point. Kendra, you had a stat on that, please. That's the stat I love. She told me this before the podcast. Check this shit out. Three of the four matchups this year decided by 1 point.
She's got it.
It's tied for the most consecutive games between teams where each game was decided by 1 point in NBA history. It's the longest streak since Lakers-Celtics 2009-10.
That's a long time.
Okay, honey.
Man,
that's a long time. Yeah, no predictions.
The poll question in the chat, I said, what? Who moves on? Kings, Warriors. 72% of the people, Kings. I'm surprised Kings fans are feeling that optimistic. Shout out to Dak in the chat who says, I'm a Knicks fan and I love you guys. Thank you. Appreciate that. Hax says, tell Kendra I said, what's up?
What's up?
Hax.
Hey, Hax. What's up?
All right. You know what? Here's a good way we end the pod.
Yeah, how?
Just a fun little game of Ball is Life! Morgan Reagan, Kendra Andrews go head to head in a little basketball game show. I'm your host, Deuce Mason. Morgan Reagan from the Deuce and Mo podcast. Kendra Andrews from ESPN joins us with two categories in this one. This is a best of seven.
Oh,
so
game seven.
Yeah, are you doing this like as like a trigger?
No, it's just an easier way to.
Oh, okay.
Whoever gets wins 4-3, or
like,
you know,
is she
whoever
gonna
gets
go
a 4-1.
On me on
the categories tonight.
Okay.
the basketball nickname game, and basketball birthdays. These are NBA players who have a birthday this week.
Yeah.
And you guys are facing each other. You guys aren't on a team. You guys are facing each other.
Yeah, we know. I'm ready. We just like each other.
Okay, since Kendra is our guest, she gets to pick the first category. Do you want to go with the basketball nickname game or basketball birthdays?
I'll go a nickname.
Okay, the basketball nickname is simple. I give you three nicknames.
This is gonna be so embarrassing.
Three nicknames. I give you three nicknames.
It's always embarrassing for me.
So okay, give me three nicknames.
One of them is not a real nickname.
Okay.
This first one from the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's Lou Dort.
I have a question.
Me too.
Current players, or
these are two current players. Okay. Can you just let me host the show?
Really,
you guys are contestants.
Quick question, sir. Do I get to try answering this one too, or is this hers?
This is hers.
Oh, okay, because you said
you can clean up.
Okay.
Look, I'm not sure I thought about this well. Okay.
No, you didn't.
We'll just have some fun.
Yeah, we'll figure it out as we go.
I do have a tiebreaker one too, just in case too. I was prepared for that. Okay, the first one from the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay.
It's Canada's Lou Dort. Now, these nicknames come from Basketball Reference.
Okay.
One of them is not a real nickname.
Okay.
Here are the nicknames. Dortcher Chamber.
Ooh. Okay.
The Montreal Menace.
Ooh.
Or Dortress, like a fortress, like in the military fortress, you know?
I hope the last one is fake.
Dortcher Chamber, the Montreal Menace, and Dortress.
I almost think the Montreal Menace is fake.
You almost do?
I do. I say final answer. The Montreal Menace.
You got it right. One nothing
Can
lead.
I tell you why?
Always hated you. Yeah,
Can I
go.
Tell you why? Because there's already like Maple Jordan. There's that. It just wasn't there. It wasn't there for me.
A 1-0 lead, Morgan. You have the choice of the next one. Are you gonna go with basketball birthdays, or are you gonna close out the basketball nick? I'm sorry. No, there's you're good.
Let's just say
there's
a couple more.
Sorry, there's a couple more basketball nickname or basketball nickname.
Well, Deuce, I do suck at both of these topics, but I'm going to go with basketball nickname.
Whoa, okay. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
We're going to go with someone who...
You're not on my team.
Who?
I hope you lose.
The next one on basketball nicknames is a member of the Golden State Warriors in his first season, Dario Saric.
Oh, God.
I don't know this.
Is it Super Dario?
I hope so. I hope that's real.
The Homie or Gospodin Kante, which, and I know you guys aren't familiar with Croatian like I am.
Say it again.
Gospodin Kante. Kante. I know it sounds bad. It's not a hard T. Kante. And that... That translation is Mr. Buckets in English.
So that's how I can get away with saying the C word, huh?
No! let me go again, all right? Super Dario, the Homie, or Gospodin Kante. And if you're not familiar with Croatian, that means Mr. Buckets in English.
I hope the last one is real as well.
No, I think it's 100% real, because why else would he do it?
Maybe he's learning Croatian.
Oh, I'm going to, you know what? The Homie, it just sounds so weird.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Super Dario is fake, even though I wish it was real.
Super Dario, is that your final answer?
Oh, was it the Homie?
Was it the Homie?
Or was it the...
What you could steal here for a 2-0 lead.
I'm going to say the Homie
is the fake one.
Fake, yeah.
No. Oh, no one gets the point here.
So you looked up Croatian?
Croatian.
I looked it up before.
I'm going to start using that term. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't.
I'm sorry. Gospodin Kante.
Jesus, dude. Just like stop saying it.
That sounds like a Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, you literally sound like Larry David.
Google Translate, so you guys can hear. I might be saying. Yeah. Wait. Oh, Oh, okay. So Google Translate's going to tell us exactly how it goes.
Well, that's how I looked it up, dude.
Okay, dude.
Okay, listen. It's his
official
name.
Okay. Here, official nickname.
This is what it sounds like. Cante. Oh, sorry. Gospodin Cante.
Cante.
It's Cante.
It's not Cante.
I didn't say it like that.
Yeah, you did.
It's a hard ka.
It's a ka.
Okay, I looked it up 10 minutes before the show. Give me a break.
Put A-H underneath it.
Guess what? You guys were wrong.
Yeah.
You guys were wrong.
All right.
Good job with your Croatian.
Okay, so no one. All right, Kendra, you are up next. Okay. Are you going to clean up, close out the category of basketball nickname, or do you want to dip your toes in a basketball purpose?
Give me a birthday. Ooh. Birthday for 500, please.
Get wild and someone we already mentioned.
Who?
Happy birthday this week to OKC Thunder player Lou Dort.
AKA not the Montreal Menace.
No, not the Montreal Menace.
Good memory. I already forgot his nickname.
Lou, by the way, averaged a career-high 39% from three this year.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with the question. Just a little fact that he's throwing 39. Out.
39.
I appreciate that.
He was happy birthday this week. How old do you think he is? Dort.
I'm guessing how old he is.
Yeah, yeah. Happy birthday.
Oh, my God.
This week.
Lou Dort. I feel like he's... Well, he's been a... Well, has he been around for a bit? Mm.
He has. He's been around
I'm
for
gonna a bit. I'm going to give him a solid 29.
Okay. Okay.
Are we doing the within two rule for us or no? Because...
I feel like now you guys going head to head.
No, we don't know.
I think it's whoever's...
I'm gonna say final answer. How much is 29?
Okay. Okay.
You can steal here, Morgan.
I'm going to steal.
I think I have...
I'm going to go with...
Do you need help from the audience?
You guys, stop. Stop.
Don't give her the answer. Okay. I hate when they
I think I heard
that.
It. I'm going to go with 27.
42? Do we give a point for closest or no?
No.
No, okay.
Kendra
says no. Okay, so happy 25th birthday.
I want it. I want the point.
25th birthday.
He is young, dude.
All right, Morgan Reagan. Do you want to?
I don't even know.
Do you want to close out basketball birth, or do you want to close out basketball nicknames or basketball birthdays continues?
I suck at birthdays. Let's go to nicknames.
All right, to close out this category, in honor of the WNBA draft tonight, Diana Taurasi, 41 years old, was the number one pick in 2004.
Okay.
It's not a birthday.
I know.
Okay. She's a three-time WNBA champion,
okay.
Two-time WNBA Finals MVP, also won an MVP. Here are the nicknames.
Let's hear it.
Dirty Diana, DT, and the White Mamba.
Okay, it's going to be Dirty Diana.
Is the
final
one.
Answer.
Yes, it is. Congratulations.
Good job.
You know,
Dirty Diana. No, because DT is like, that's
super known.
You're going to always do that.
Really?
Yeah. And then I already knew she was the White Mamba.
Yeah, Kobe gave her that nickname.
I love that. Yeah, okay. Go on.
So, you've tied the game at one apiece.
Oi.
1-1, and now we just have basketball birthdays.
Okay, give it to me.
All right, happy birthday to the Nuggets. Energetic forward Christian Brown won an NBA championship last year with the Denver Nuggets.
I don't know.
He is a baby.
I mean, guess it as soon as you get it wrong. I like to win.
Christian Brown. Let's see. Lou Dort was 25.
Yeah.
Yep.
What year was Chris? Can I ask what year was Christian Brown drafted? 22.
No, because that can give you an idea.
Yeah, I know. I'm just thinking out loud.
Let me
I'm
ask
gonna
the
say
judges.
That he's,
we cannot actually. Give
okay.
You
well, I'm gonna say he's 23.
Exactly right. Happy 23rd birthday to Christian Brown this week.
Yeah.
He's now in his second year in the NBA. Last year was his rookie year.
So he was
year.
Drafted in 22. Yeah. God, I'm good.
All right, next up, Morgan Reagan. Happy birthday to Knicks sharpshooter Bojan Bogdanovic, of course. He got an early birthday gift by being traded from the Pistons to the Knicks. Of course, he played on six NBA teams. Can you think of them? The Nets?
No, I can't think of them, but
Pacers,
I do know.
The Wizards?
Yeah.
Hawks? No?
No, the Jazz, the Pistons. You're thinking of someone he's not related to, Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Bojan, Bogdan, and Bojan.
Bojan is on Knicks.
And Bogdan is younger than Bojan, and Bojan is going to be 30,
2.
I hate this game.
Played on 6 NBA teams over the years.
I'm going to say...
You're such a dick.
What?
I want another guess.
I'm going to say...
Are you ready to
say 30?
Shut up.
The chat's guessing. Andre is saying 29. I don't know if
that's
helpful.
What did you say?
I don't know.
What did she say?
She said 32.
Oh, I'll say 30. No. 29 and a half.
Nope.
Okay, I know the answer. Back to me. 33. 34.
Okay, you are wrong. No points are awarded. Kendra's still up 2-1. Happy 35th birthday to Boyan.
See, I knew he was older, but I just don't. I never know ages. Like if you put a kid in front of my face, and I'm like,
specifically athletes, because we're like, oh, they're so old. He's 35.
Steph always 30 to me, even though he's not.
Based on the questions left,
even though he's not.
If Kendra, we are moving into a category. We might have to go to closest.
Oh my God.
Gets the points. We have one birthday left and we have a tiebreaker opportunity too, but we can have some fun here. Okay.
Okay.
So Kendra can win this. You can win this now. If she gets this right, it is all over.
It's like a plan game.
Yeah. I don't know.
Happy birthday.
Wait, if she wins this, the Warriors win tomorrow. If I win it, the Kings win.
If that makes you happy.
Okay, I'm ready. Life. I'm ready. Give it to me.
Happy birthday to Orlando Magic Center, Wendell Carter Jr.
Ooh, okay. He was drafted in like, what, 20?
Got to start with the Chicago Bulls.
Yep, yep.
Then went to Orlando. Remember, played at Duke with Marvin Bagley.
So he was drafted in 2018. No. And in 2018, how old was I? How many years ago was 2018?
I don't know.
That was 6 years ago. So he must... 26? My final answer is 26.
That's your final answer.
Ah! That was really loud. Okay. I apologize for yelling.
But
so
no, it's fine. But you know, this is a lot of pressure on Morgan because even if she misses this,
I got it.
I win.
You win. If she makes it, we go to a final round tiebreaker.
Okay.
She said 26.
Yeah. He is.
Did I do my math wrong?
25.
Wendell Carter. Happy 25th birthday!
Kings win!
No, we're tied at 2-2.
Oh, no! Oh, no, it's overtime! Oh, my God!
Okay, so we go to the tiebreaker. I'm going to be honest, I couldn't find a good basketball birthday for this, so we move into a celebrity birthday for this one. You guys will both know this person.
I'm awful at this. Okay.
Now, I'm going to say this. Whoever is closest gets the win.
Okay.
Happy birthday today to Emma Watson from Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Emma
Hermione
Watson.
Granger.
Yes.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Harry Potter.
I have no idea how old she is. I know she's young.
Yeah. When did Harry Potter start? When did the last Harry Potter film
come out? It's a great question. I will have to ask the judge.
Yeah.
Do you know offhand?
I'm going to say she's...
a lot of judges in here.
I want to say she is...
She's going first?
Oh, wait.
How do we do this? Do you want us to write down our numbers?
Do 1, 2, 3, say it. Yeah, let's
do that. You know what? That's a great point.
Give us a count. No, give us a 3, 2, 1 countdown and we'll say it.
No, here. Kendra, write down your answer here.
Okay. I'm going for it.
Wait, don't look.
Okay. Right. I'll take the pen after.
Yep.
I'm thinking.
Judge or Deuce, host, how long does she have?
Sorry.
Well, hold on. Let's see if we hear a sound effect. Bump, bump, bump. Oh, it looks like time is close.
Answer is in.
Okay. Answer is in. We'll see. We got Kendra's here. Morgan taking her time.
Okay,
we'll go with Morgan's first. Morgan says, happy 29th birthday
to
Emma Watson.
Happy 29th, girl.
Yeah, I'm in like the same ballpark-ish.
Yeah. Kendra Andrews says, happy 33rd birthday.
Oh, I'm definitely right. I have to be Emma Watson. Yeah, there's no way.
But she's been around for so long.
She was like 12 years old in that movie,
but that movie took up like 10 years.
Well, if you'd like the answer, I can give it to you.
Please, we want to argue about it.
She just seems, I feel, I feel
sure
that they're always a little older.
You know what?
Than they seem. Actors are old. Athletes are younger than you think.
Agreed.
And actors are older than you
and
think.
And wizards don't age.
That is so true.
So just to be clear, your final answers are in. So it, this doesn't matter.
But let us, we're analyzing.
Okay, okay.
Talk about.
Happy 34th birthday. Kendra Andrews is the winner of Ball
Is Live. Wait, that means that the Warriors win.
No, it doesn't.
Literally, when I tell you, it has nothing to do with it.
This has, this is not. She's that old?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
How old are you?
But that doesn't matter. But she seems like she's like 12 still.
Yeah, they do. But like, how old's Jennifer Lopez? You know what I mean? Like, well, they're always a little older than you think.
Okay.
You never know. How old, like, I can go down the list. How old's Jennifer Lawrence? How old Emma Stone?
You're so right. Like, in every athlete, I always think they're like still stuck at the age that I remember them like
that's what I'm
forever.
Saying.
Yep. Okay.
I knew it was mid-30s because also, okay, really, I know we're getting into Emma Stone here, but it's harder, especially with like women and actresses versus actors because love Daniel Radcliffe, but he's looking his a little more his age, whereas Emma Watson looks very like her skin.
A little Botox, a little skincare.
Gorgeous.
Yep.
So it's just hard.
Okay.
Anyway.
Fine.
The chat mentioned this. Yeah, J-Lo is 77 too, which is crazy. It is crazy. thank you so much, Marcus.
Thanks, Marcus. I love you guys.
Let's end with final thoughts. We do this. You don't have to participate if you don't want to.
She does. She will.
You, okay. You can too.
I will. Why not?
We're going to start with you with final thoughts. We are on the eve of Kings Warriors. Yes, chat, we know Jordy Fernandez got hired. We mentioned it. Go ahead.
My final thoughts before going to what could possibly be the last Kings game of the season. I think it's just important every year if you are a true basketball fan to always enjoy the journey, especially when you are being fed some good basketball. I know it wasn't great basketball for the Kings and what everyone's expectations was all season long, but if you're gonna invest your time and watch it, you might as well make sure you have a positive attitude while doing it, because why else would you like waste your time then? And so yeah, I've really enjoyed everything, and I'm hoping for a fun result tomorrow. A great result would be a W for the Kings, but a fun result will be also like just this wild competitive game.
You know what I was just thinking?
It's my mic like, off?
No, your mic's still on.
Oh, what?
We all think like, you think the Warriors are going to win probably. I know how you operate. You probably think the Warriors are going to win. You know?
No.
That's fine. And if the Kings won, they'd win by a little bit. What if the Kings just destroyed them tomorrow? Is that the most unlikely outcome? The Kings like just clap. Like if I'm coming here after the show tomorrow, go on, clap
that ass. We do that.
Yeah. God, that'd be amazing. If we're like, what a boring game.
See, this is why I don't even want to think about it. Like we already said that. Like, oh,
I know.
I mean,
I know.
You know, there's so many scenarios.
I got you.
So it's
your
like,
final
just don't. Yeah. Just like live in the now. Mm-hmm. Live in the now, bud.
Kendra Andrews, do you have any final thoughts? Just it could be about anything with this year with the NBA, covering the Warriors or this game specifically.
No, I think my final thought, I guess, I think the play-in is where it's at right now in the Western Conference. When you look at the four teams that are competing, the Pels, the Lakers, Kings, and Warriors, like those aren't bad teams or franchise. They've all kind of had their own struggles in different ways, but there is a reason why it's getting so much hype and attention. And I mean, the top of the West was so strong, and the Nuggets have been incredible, and OKC, they're so young, and coach of the year and all the stuff, and the Timberwolves have put it together. But like, there's a reason why so many people are excited about and talking about the play-in tournament in the Western Conference. And it's because no one can believe that any of those four teams are there. And like that, I don't know, like I've just been kind of thinking about that. And like the Suns were almost in the play-in tournament. And so it's going to be going back to like our conversation of like success versus a failed season. It's just so crazy because all of these teams records last year wouldn't be in the play-in, and
crazy.
It's just so crazy. It's so crazy. And also, hey, shout out to the play-in, because if the play-in wasn't happening, the Kings and Warriors seasons would both be done.
Yep. It'd be over.
It'd be done.
It's insane to think about. My final thought, I just can't wait. I can't wait for tomorrow. It's going to be a fun game. And I'm not going to think too much about what could happen, what may happen.
I don't know if I believe you.
Yeah, I will stay up all night thinking about it. But yeah, dude, it's one game. This is what it's about. This is what makes sports so fun. We saw a game 7 last year. Now we got a win or go home game. I can't wait. Mm. All right, before we go too, let's do a fake. Let's come up to, because I'm going to use this for a screenshot. We have to stay like for like the after,
great. I love
you know?
It.
So like we have to act like we're talking. Maybe
you don't want to pose?
Or I could, by the way, Kendra, look at how ripped I look right now.
It's great, dude.
Do you honestly, are you kind of impressed like a little bit?
Very impressed. No, look, you watch always impress me. I see the veins and stuff. I see it all.
Does it look
dude,
like?
It's like,
thank you.
He's done this like 3 times.
Okay, let's do a fake like, how should we do this, Morgan?
yeah, good.
Okay, we love you guys so much. We'll be live again following Kings and Warriors. We appreciate you guys so much. Thanks so much to Kendra Andrews, too. That was
fun.
Thanks
for having me, yeah.
We love you guys, but we gots to go.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.